What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 60 of Value Town. I'm Chanman V, joined today by Raynad, Noxious, and Frodan. How's everybody doing today? Ray, you're still in Peck South, right? Or down somewhere, not right at your house.
Yeah, Peck South happened in San Antonio, and I drove down to, or up to Austin. I drove in a direction to Austin. It took like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Now I'm staying at Reckful's place for a few days, just hang out and stuff.
Reckful and Raynad on in the town on 6th Street. That's a pretty good dynamic duo there. Noxious, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I mean, I'm just done streaming, so as usual, always just segueing directly into the stream.
Yeah, man. Awesome. And Frodan, who's our guest today.
Yo.
Yeah.
Like the little Hearthstone stones in the background. That's cool.
Yeah, man, I had to clean my room a lot.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
And I was in meetings all day this morning, so screw you. I don't want to spend my mornings cleaning. It's not what I'm supposed to be doing in life.
The life of working at home, man. That's what it's like, right?
That's right. No, it's overdue. It's overdue.
All right. Well, we've got a topic-packed show today, which was funny because it wasn't planned that way originally. Me and Noxious were talking maybe like 3 days ago, and then like a lot of stuff happened in the last 48 hours. So we're going to be kicking things off with talking about the standard game format that was announced just over a day ago from Blizzard. And then some new events that are upcoming that were announced since our last show. Some player transaction, particularly revolving around Firebat, and then we're going to be taking some of your questions, as always, in Q&A, and you can post your questions to ValueTownGG on Twitter. Okay, so let's talk about the big announcement that Blizzard made yesterday morning. Announced a new game format, Standard, which is the first game format that's going to be essentially eliminating some cards from the set, or at least having a game format that retires some of the cards. Lots of people talking about it in the community right now, and there's a lot of things to talk about, so I kind of wanted to maybe focus on a few things just to get started. I figured we would take a look at it, like what these changes mean kind of generally for casual new players, and then we'll take a look at it from the standpoint of competitive and pre-existing players. So let's talk about this change for... again, for new players, casual players, and Noxious, I'll have you kick things off. Like, what do you think? How do you think this change will affect new players? And, you know, is it good? Is it bad?
I think it's good. It's obviously good. I mean, they know what, like, if we're talking about a brand new player, he knows where to go right off the bat, as opposed to trying to figure out what cards he needs and what, like, of the older stuff, he might never even encounter it. I don't know. I feel like when you're good at the Hearthstone right now, there's so much stuff to even figure out. It can get pretty daunting, and a lot of the cards that you get that look cool end up being irrelevant, and it can be kind of difficult sometimes. I mean, when you look at the standard format, I think just the fact that the game forces you into getting that content and not the old stuff means that there's really no way for you to fall behind. I don't know. I feel like you're always up to date as a new player now, although there will be like a constant flux of, I guess, money or gold or whatever time you have to put into the game. That hasn't really changed, really. I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, Frodan, what's your thoughts? I mean, I know you've talked a little bit about just the barrier to entry kind of feeling that a lot of players have these days trying to get into Hearthstone.
Yeah, I mean, this is really good for a lot of reasons. The first is that Hearthstone I think Ben Brode even admitted that Hearthstone will die very quickly in terms of the interest level, not like the gameplay itself or the fan base itself, but it would have died very quickly off if... they didn't do anything like this, because it's something that Raynad's mentioned hundreds of times by now, that the bigger the card pool and the more increased like expansions come out, the more refined deck lists become and the less impact they have. I mean, I mean, if TGT came out as the first expansion outside of the core and classic set, then you probably see a lot more dramatic impact of TGT and people would be complaining way less. And who knows, maybe GVG comes out and then people would be only saying we played with like three cards there, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's all a matter of perspective of, you know, limiting the card pool actually gives us more diverse options. It's been discussed many times. The big problem that people are always talking about right now, because unsurprisingly, you know, in the internet world, even though something good happens, people complain.
They're mad. Yeah, I'm surprised by that, man. So, I don't get it.
Of course,
But I get it because what really sucks is if you started playing anywhere between 4 to 5 months ago and if you start next month. Because, you know, they said spring 2016, but it's still winter, you know, so we're going to have like a month and a half, 2 months of limbo. So for this 6 month period, it really sucks to be a player in Hearthstone because you don't really have the decks to compete if you really want to go for it. You're also getting bullied a lot by Ladder because, you know, Mysterious Challenger, all these other decks still exist.
Yep.
And whether or not it's the strongest deck doesn't really matter. The whole point is that people are playing it a lot and it's being oppressive, at least to the public opinion. So you know, it's still there. And that's the kind of awkward period where, like, you know, I don't know how many players will sign up, but if the growth rate continues, it's, you know, anywhere between a few million players that sign up, it's just kind of sucks for them. But it's also one of those things where I think you sacrifice the greater good or sacrifice for the greater good.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay.
Reyna, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a change that had to happen. I think they did it in pretty much the best way possible. And I'm happy to see it. And most importantly, like, relative to like the ways they're considering doing it, I'm happy how much faster this is. Like, this is happening very quickly, which is like very much needed. You know, we have to wait, what, you know, one season, mm-hmm. you know, a few months or whatever for the expansion, and then it's good to go. So yeah, I'm really excited for that, honestly. And the multiple like formats in Magic is one of my favorite parts of the game, actually. You know, you'd have a tournament like every weekend, and the major tournaments, like the Grand Prix or the Pro Tours, they would kind of cycle formats. Mm-hmm. So you'd play like some tournament in Standard, some tournament in Legacy, Extended, back when there were good formats. And you kind of cycle through all of these and Sealed. Yeah, so that was like really fun to learn multiple formats because all of them require like different skill sets. And it makes the more holistic, like well-rounded players come out on top more often, I think.
Yeah.
Let it be known that Reynad liked the card game Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, there used to be a time where, well, I mean, actually, I kind of have to agree with the extended thing, but I feel like maybe if they run tournaments, like, I don't know how much of, like, official support there will be for Wild, but I'm just happy that it's there, because there can be official support and maybe forcing the best players to diversify, which is cool.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about so let's kind of go now switch kind of frames into competitive players and pre-existing players, where, you know, we can talk about Wild. So I think these are the players, or this is the group of people who I think have some complaints about the change, because these are the folks that have invested money into things like GVG and Nax, and those things are going to be removed soon. And not everybody are like us, who have like every single card, so we don't really care that much, you know, if some of the old cards go away, because we're so excited about new cards. What do you think right now, you know, with the reaction from a lot of people here? Ray, I'll start with you on this one.
The reaction about what?
Just reaction from people who have some of the GVG cards and the Nax cards, and feel like with the focus being so much on Standard that, you know, like all this investment is just going to go out the window. And I might not be one of those guys that just are keeping up like every single expansion. So it kind of, you know, it just feels bad that I guess their play experience will be altered, different than everybody else.
They still queue Ladder the same way. They still get the same rewards. They still get the same rank. If they want to play Wild Mode, it's all still there. I really think they did a good job of making it so that if you are one of those players that, you know, prefers to not just play with the newest or to, you know, just play like classic Hearthstone, you can still do that exactly what you've been doing before. I think it was like a pretty elegant solution that, you know, the way that they have two separate ladders basically, and mm-hmm. I think it's a great way to do it, to be honest. I don't really see how the play experience would change for anybody except for the very hardcore players who will be playing more Standard events and more getting like BlizzCon points by grinding for top 100 Legend, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like all of the players are the cards, so I don't think it really affects them in a bad way at all.
Okay, Nox.
You know what blows my mind, Chan Man?
Yeah.
When people are like really upset that Wild has its own separation of stuff,
right.
and then they're always like Blizzard wants us to be buying the new expansion,
dude.
And this is their way to make money. I'm just like, well, first of all, if it's Wild, you're still buying the new content.
Yeah,
like that's what absolutely blows my mind, because it's like nothing changes. And the second of it is that Blizzard had no incentive at all to even care about Wild. They could have just tossed it into a casual mode. In fact, when they asked us for feedback, this was the original suggestion. We're like, well, why not just have a, like, you know, if you were to do a rotation, why not just put it as ranked and then just put everything into casual mode and then just like have it unranked. So you can kind of like have an actual casual mode where you can play every single card. So that was the suggestion. And they even went a step further and said, we'll even provide you rank rewards. So for people who feel like they have a collection over time that they're not you know, completely like losing half of it, they still can earn something from it and continue to collect. So like Blizzard even went a step beyond that.
I feel like maybe it's just the irrelevance, right? Like they feel like casual is irrelevant. So if we just give them casual, they're going to be pissed because they get told that all your collection is now completely obsolete. Whereas if you give you something out of it for the long term, plus also I feel like vintage and Magic is very much alive, even though it's kind of hard to find players who have necessarily the best collections. But just like full on open Magic is really fun. And I think for Hearthstone, that's also going to be fun. Like I'm surprised people are not happy. Because the fact that also the cards get rotated out of the shop means that whatever you got up until this point is worth, quote-unquote, more once the rotation comes up. Although that might change in the future, I don't know.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's another thing that came up was that whenever these cards get retired or these sets get retired, the adventures and the expansion sets are not available in the shop, right? A lot of people would still like to see that, or at least some people would still like to see that. What are your thoughts on that? Frodan.
I think as far as I remember, you know, this is a game UI design decision. There's a lot of things that actually go into it that people don't talk about, and it's not extremely obvious. The first example that everyone always brings up is too confusing for new players, which is a classic meme, by the way.
Right.
10 out of 10. 8 out of 8. I hope it sticks around for a long time. But, you know, it's a packaged way to say that they don't want to overwhelm people with options, specifically players who aren't completely familiar with the interface. If you open up any game, for example, and you have 10 different booster packs, you're not exactly sure which one you want to buy. You know, a lot of card games actually struggle with this kind of concept. So they want to simplify the decision-making process. If you have like 3 adventures, 4 adventures, 7 expansions that you have to kind of sift through, you're just going to Google which one's the best, and you have a bunch of opinions, and sometimes that might just be too much work and some people to close it. This actually goes to matchmaking as well. Like, it's a pretty big decision that Blizzard split Wild and Ranked into actual play modes, because that also splits the player base. Might increase queue times, who knows.
Some people have mentioned that, but I don't know how legit that is of a concern.
Well, it's just something that you have to consider as a game designer or developer. So, you know, I can understand why they do it. I actually really like that suggestion. I don't really usually take too much credence to people's opinions on suggestions of changes on the public forums when it's upvoted in mass. But this one's actually a pretty good one. Like, it's not that they're bad ideas. It's that a lot of them are impractical. It's like, why not just add deck slots like this? And then they put like a fancy thing. And I'm like, well, it may work on PC, not on mobile, etc. But in this case, if you just have like one thing dedicated to Wild and it's a bunch of packs that have all the old adventures and all the old expansions, that I think actually might be a pretty good suggestion. And, you know, Blizzard is open to looking at that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're actually accounting for it.
Ray, I mean, you've always been the guy who's collected all the golden cards, you know, just for completeness sake, you know, and that sort of, and there's a few people that I know, like streamer-wise and stuff, that do that. From the standpoint of that, just completeness and collector, just feeling like it's a collector's thing, even though it's not really, they haven't really, you know, made it into more of a collector's, like a TCG-like feeling, because there's no value in the cards, are you still going to continue to collect all the cards, or at least you're going to keep them around? I know a lot of people are going to be dusting a lot of cards and things like that, but what are your thoughts on just that?
No, I mean, my goal is to just have, you know, a complete collection. Like, I think it's just cool to, since you know, I was in the game since the very, very early stages, I have a chance to get, you know, every card back, every gold card, every, I mean, I do that.
Uh-oh.
Losing Reyna.
Yeah, you're...
Yeah.
Oh. Can you hear me now? Testing, 1, 2.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello?
Okay, yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I was going to say, I'm still going to collect all the cards, basically.
Okay.
I want to get a complete collection. It's cool to be able to do that since we're in Hearthstone since the beginning, so.
Noxious, how do you feel about that? Just collecting the cards. I think you do, too.
I mean, I do a lot of it, too. Like, I just try to get all the goldens. The problem is, I feel like you get so few of them anyway from card packs that it doesn't really matter whether you have to craft them through the dust that you disenchanted the new packs or the old ones.
Yeah, that's true.
So as far as I'm concerned, as long as the ratio of dust to card doesn't really change for the older stuff, then it doesn't matter. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like it's not really going to change too much for collector's sake, since they're still craftable.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like a big deal that they chose to strike GVG as well. That wasn't really something that wasn't so set in stone. I think when originally they were talking to us, they were thinking about just taking out Naxxramas just by itself. If you think about it, Nax is still kind of a big deal. You know, Deathspite being gone really hurts Warrior. Mad Science is being zombie, gone. Sludge Belcher, mm-hmm. Death Lords, Zombie Chows, Haunted Creepers. You know, there's a lot of cards in Naxxramas that had a huge impact, maybe to the point where power level was immediately increased that way. And, you know, they thought GVG was just a huge amount of the card pool because, I mean, even in chat saying it, you know, the card pool is still kind of really small if you think about Classic and Basics, especially if they're nerfing cards based off what they're implying. So if you have, very few cards, it also is the opposite extreme. Like, everything is not really diverse because everybody has the same cards. So I think the fact that they're trying to eliminate GVG means that they have a lot of holes to fill, like a lot of holes to fill. And I'm sad because, you know, some of my favorite cards were in GVG around that time. You know, I've said it on Twitter, Echo of Medivh is like one of the most interesting cards in the game, in my opinion. And that card single-handedly gave life to a bunch of mage archetypes. And now it's gone. So
Hobgoblin, man.
Hey man, those decks are fun too, man.
How about we can die in a fire from the tavern brawl? Man, that card was so nuts. Oh my god, I wanted to kill myself every time it got played.
So just, I guess, touching on the last thing with the whole wild versus standard thing, I think maybe one of the things that did kind of rub some folks the wrong way with wild is a little bit of how they presented it, because there is a ladder, which is totally cool, and I mean that kind of presumes that they want you to care about wild, you know, and give you at least something to work for, but then they don't like feature, I guess, the top 100, you know, like at the end of the season, and you know there's like this whole other thing where, you know, competitive is going to be standard and all these other things where it's just like, okay, there's no emphasis on wild. Do you think they should have done a little bit more just to, you know, to frame it a little bit differently in terms of wild, instead of just having the ladder?
I think so. Make it seem as casual as...
Yeah.
Because the way people look at it, they're like, oh, this is the new casual, and nobody's going to care about it. Even though you do get rewards, and you do get to stroke your EP if you climb pretty high, given that it's also going to be a lot... I don't want to say tougher, but I feel like that format is going to be so... all over the place. I guess wild is the right term in this case, because over time, the more cards get added to standard...
Wild is a description. It's not the more. It shouldn't be the name of the mode.
That's true. I don't agree with the name of it either.
That person deserves to be fired.
I know. What should it be called? Legacy?
Yeah, why not? Oh, actually, God. Legacy,
not
I think.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Raina, I thought that name was weird.
Raina, do you see any events being, like, do you see a lot of maybe, like, big events or maybe just brands that would I guess define themselves as a wild type of event starting to pop up in the community?
We'll definitely run some big ones. It's cool. When I played Magic a lot of the time, one of the things that's criminally underrated in that game is like every format that's not standard, because standard is kind of like represents 90% of play that happens in that game, which is not healthy, I don't think. And they tried to introduce a new format that they pushed really hard called Modern, but they handled that really badly, in my opinion. So, like, the best formats ended up being these, like, two older formats where you can play with, like, all the cards. And they had very little support. And the very few third-party tournaments that did happen for those got a lot of attention. People loved them. They had communities dedicated to only playing that format. They have their own memes and everything. It's, you know, it's cool. Like, so I think...
it's like Project M.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like Project M. So... I think that those types of formats definitely will happen. It was like when we were giving like Blizzard feedback, that was my number one issue was like, I want to make sure that, you know, Wild gets as much support as possible. And I'm really glad that they did more than just make it casual. Like, I'm actually really happy with the way they did the final solution.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that's concealed a lot. Like, You know, one thing I actually really do wish Blizzard would do more. On top of the list of growing Christmas like wishes, right? But one of them was periodically they used to release like a bunch of statistics and infographics on stuff like
a coin,
you know, random stuff like how many leopard gnomes were killed or something, you know, and then like how many people play this deck or this kind of stuff. And that, like, those kinds of statistics, I can understand why they want to keep under wraps. First of all, they're just kind of like just talking points. And second of all, they might actually use that information against them. But one thing that's also really interesting to me is how many people actually play like Arena versus ranked, or even just ranked versus casual. And I asked even a Blizzard dev, and they wouldn't tell me the real numbers because they want to keep that internally. But it's kind of similar to what Reyna was saying. I think the quote that I got was, it's in the double digits of percentages. That people play Arena, so I was like, why do you have to quantify it? It's like 90%. I assumed it was in double digits. So it's
double
like,
digits.
It's, that's based off so the way helpful, he even man. Quantified that, it sounded as if it was like in the low 15 to 20, 30. I'm just completely speculating. I don't know anything about it, but it's just like...
That's funny anyway, though. But
it's like the overwhelming majority care about ranked constructed mode. Then, you know, a subsection also care about Tavern Brawl since it recently released. This is a question I asked months ago, so it could have completely changed since Tavern Brawl has continued to develop. Even before the Mechazod Tavern Brawl. So I think... Tavern Brawl has grown considerably in popularity since then. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's kind of interesting, because I've always thought of Tavern Brawl as just more of... You know, it would overlap with the other two. You know, like you're either in the team, you know, constructed or the team, you know, arena bucket, and then the Tavern Brawl would kind of overlap with a little bit, or the casual players would come into it. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
My wife
Tavern
just
Ball
plays
itself.
Tavern Brawl all day. Yeah. That's all she plays. Like, she doesn't play Hearthstone unless Tavern Brawl's up. So,
oh, that's cool.
I mean, that's
man.
Like a segment of that population, for instance, that probably doesn't care too much.
Yeah, mission accomplished, right? with
Tavern Brawl. Done.
That's the,
But I mean, they still do care about arena, like. Yeah. They definitely do. First, they balance even sometimes around that, and people don't really see it as obviously until it's pointed out. Like, you know, Obsidian Destroyer and Fierce Monkey, their rarities are not a coincidence at all. Like, they're specifically trying to help classes like Warrior and probably Hunter, and I think Shaman's also a bottom three class. So
that Sea Reaver, man, that was a good idea.
But you get the idea. Like, League of Explorers, they really tried to help Warrior and Arena, so I'm sure there's going to be more deliberate stuff. I actually am really curious why they don't have an Arena ranking at all. I'm sure that would.
Yeah, that needs to come out too.
And then even Arena rewards, you know, end of the season, it's like, you got 12 wins. Here's like another free pack. I mean, there's probably economics behind it, but
hey, you know, I
ideally would like to.
I
want to
see who the top players are. You know, like, we kind of heard these rankings behind the scenes and that sort of thing, but I just, why not, right? Why not just show top 100 players?
The thing about info like that and the point Frodan mentioned about showing infographics and stuff is, like, a lot of people don't know this, but it's actually very difficult and time-consuming for Blizzard to pull those kinds of stats. Because you have to do it individually, like per player and stuff. The system even that they have isn't great for doing it. And it's the biggest reason they're making the API that they talk about, which, you know, it's something people don't mention too often, but it's going to be a huge deal in the type of third-party content you see. So once that API is finished, it'll be easier for Blizzard to track stats on, like, you know, what decks are people playing in general and what rank, like, well, who has the highest arena win percentage. All these things will be done by wonderful community websites like tempestrome.com.
Well,
in which case,
done.
You probably have a deck tracker by then. Help spot.
Which you downloaded it.
Well, I can't wait for the API. Like, analytics has always been kind of an interest
like six
of
months,
mine.
Man, right?
So
6 months.
Six months. Okay. All right.
Yeah, they promised it about like they said
they promised
on it six months ago.
It's 6 months ago.
I remember that because like I was talking to some of the guys were doing some development on another website, and they said, yeah, we're just waiting on the API to do that project, and the project never came to life because the API never showed up. So that was pretty sad.
Man, if you're depending on that, wow, that's
I mean, they wanted to wait because they were told. They were told.
Right.
Anyway, it was funny.
Okay, well, let's kind of get into the meat of some things and talk about what cards are going to be gone and what we think is, you know, going to happen, or who looks like they're getting the shit in the stick even before we see what they're going to be adding. So let's take a look at the cards, or at least notable cards that are going to be taken away here in GVG and Naxxramas. Lots of big, lots of very important cards to the metagame right now. Thoughts on, I guess, the cards that will have the most impact just being removed for a particular class or just generally? Reyna, I'll have you start with it.
I mean, I could go down a long list of them, right? But I actually don't like having conversations that way because once it gets around to the point where the rotation actually does happen, like we spend all this time talking about like how much of a big deal it is to lose Sludge Belcher, but when the rotation happens, we're not playing with Sludge Belcher. Nobody's thinking about Sludge Belcher. The better conversation to have is what cards will start to see more play from a set like TGT, given that a lot of their current replacements are going away, right?
So, Yeah.
So I think cards like, basically we lose a ton of broken two drops. That's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. They're either nerfing Knife Juggler or I'm not playing the game again.
Losing
Mad Scientist. Yep.
Oh, man.
Ending the Hearthstone division of tempo. We're going to be 100% like Heroes of the Storm and Smash Bros. Or something.
I like that.
We'll finally go in on that tiki hut on the beach and sell smoothies, right, Reyna?
One day.
Nice, peaceful life.
24 hours. One day.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, like, it's like the two drops go away, right? So I actually think the kinds of cards that we'll start seeing way more of are things like Garrison Commander.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He still likes Garrison Commander. Yeah. Okay.
Really? Like, so yeah, I love a hero power.
I just remember Reyna rated that card pretty highly, and I was like,
it is
my top five, nuts. Man. It wasn't my top five. The top five. I'm actually surprised it just never worked, but that's because the rest of the two jobs just sucked.
If you were to rank like the top 10 most overpowered, like by the numbers cards in the game, like 8 of them are two drops or something. It's disgusting. So like once we lose all those, that's a very, very big deal. It completely changes how the game plays out. I think like a lot of the Inspire mechanic cards are going to become huge. Obviously, whatever the main mechanic in the new expansion coming out is going to be massive. And you'll really start to see these like themes from the set, whether that's like Mech from GBG or Inspire from TGT. You'll see those kinds of themes making multiple tier one decks the way that they were intended to. Mm-hmm. And that's like the biggest consequence of limiting the card pool is those types of mechanics and just cool interactive games are... It just happen more often. So, that's what I expect to see. The core set cards, it's really going to depend like what they nerf, obviously. But, I mean, that's an impossible conversation.
Yeah, it could be anything right now. Yeah. Right? They just said they're definitely reviewing all of them.
Yeah.
And I think everybody in the community expects a lot of changes. So that's a huge part of this thing too.
Right.
So,
yeah, like, that's the question. Like, how many cards will be changed? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's just about addressing. Like, we were talking about this. I was talking with Just Saiyan a bit earlier. I was mentioning how, like, talking about the Aggro Shaman and how I thought that thing was going to just break the world.
Right.
And the thing is, like, Doomhammer, on its own as a kind of classic/core, really is an insane card. So one of the ways to fix it, and that's the thing, like they might never
touch
those cards. Well, I mean, like you change Rockbiter, you change Rockbiter, you can't touch it, man.
Noxious.
No, but I mean, like, there's no Belcher, there's no Healbot, dude. You just go face. Like, how the hell do you stop that? I don't know, man.
Well, I think Noxious's point is that, like, if you look at least just looking at the cards, right? Shaman just lost Crackle, but if you look at that Aggro Shaman, it didn't lose much, and
that's
then
the
like
point,
you see a lot of things that were to prevent that type of deck.
Protan's like completely out.
I think that's his point.
I was thinking the long list of obviously Druid combo needs to be
checked. No. But like I'm just looking at Aggro Shaman as a problem thing because they're losing nothing and we're losing all the healing / mitigation tools. But we have to get new shit right, like coming around with the new expansion. Like if they print like I don't know Belcher's little brother and it's like a 2/5 that spawns a 0/1. For 4 mana, then that might work to I guess stem the flow, but
yeah, I mean
Druid being
we can even talk about a list of cards that we'd like to be nerfed. That's pretty cool, but Doomhammer is not one of them on my list.
No, not at all.
I would prioritize it just because I think it's a little bit iconic. Like I understand completely the idea why Blizzard wants to keep like the identity of Hearthstone in a lot of ways, because if you completely strip down a lot of what the existing cards are, then other than just the cosmetics and the hero power, there's really no diversity, or there's no like clear diversity between each class. So I like the idea of like having a core set, something that Kibler brought up too in his video, that he wants to keep like less cards, not the classic and basic, because he's really afraid of like Alexstrasza and BGH. Mm-hmm. Even Silence to a certain degree really makes
that bothers me. The owls, like the owls
are getting changed.
Those annoy me.
Yeah, but it's just about how many are being changed, what should be changed. I mean, Even Harrison Jones stay the way he should. That's a card that I like. The more I always see Harrison, I'm just like, this card's nuts. But like what it can accomplish in terms of like what it wins or how it just blows out games.
Yeah.
You know, cards like Kazan Mystic will get rotated out, but if Harrison sticks around, it's going to be around forever.
Ray?
I think a lot of people are like really concerned about individual, like the power level of individual cards and like how strong. The only combo people are even thinking about is like Druid combo.
Yeah.
Being removed. The bigger problem is just archetypes. Like if there is an archetype that's self-contained, like some kind of deck that you can just build all the time that's just in the classic set that pushes other decks out of the metagame, that's unhealthy. So like the more important nerfs are like Mountain Giant, Molten Giant. Like
Twilight Drake,
if you keep Handlock as just this deck that's always in the metagame, you push like half of the possible mid-range options out of the game. So things like that are even more important than like nerfing one Alexstrasza or whatever. Though Alexstrasza definitely should be in consideration for nerfs.
Yeah, new Warlock Hero Power, summon a 2/1 imp.
I mean, we've seen the same archetype, which brought up Handlock and Druid. We've seen that archetype since the beginning. Like Handlock, it didn't look exactly the same, but it's pretty much designed the same way. It's been there since beta, and so is in Druid. I think when they introduced Savage, it was a little bit later in the beta, but for the most part, it's looked very, very similar. So, yeah, getting rid of those, I mean, just having decks that stick around for that long, I think there's definitely a big issue with that. So this is going to be great to see, the change there. In terms of something that you brought up, Ray, like earlier, where you were talking about Inspire mechanics and themes and things like that being introduced, one thing I see is like potentially problematic is especially with the releases they've already had, is how they've introduced it and then how this kind of year cutoff will work. A good example is mech, right? We're going to lose GVG, we're going to lose Shades, and there was a lot of mech, minions and themes in that. And, I mean, we're stuck with what? I think we counted them, Noxious. There was, like, maybe seven mechs or eight mechs left, So they're going to have to be more aware of that type of release.
Go in the pirate bin.
Pretty much. Yeah. But I think it's fine, though. Like, the fact that these cards can, like, the thing, it gives them a bit of design space where they can make cards that aren't for standard necessarily. Because if you make just cards for standard, then you're also not giving any attention to the guys who might want some cool tools back in. They're playing that weird deck. Like when Beast Tools for Druids rotate out, and there's some random dude playing Beast Druid on Wild for some reason, then you don't give him any more Beast Druid tools, and what's he stuck with? Pretty much the same old stuff. So I don't know. I feel like having mechs come out, like this also gives them a good reason to push out really powerful pirates, let's say, which would be broken if all pirates exist. But as soon as it's just wild restricted, it won't affect the quote unquote competitive high, the metagame of the world championship, let's say. So I don't know.
It's going to be something different for other players. Like some players actually really like a very predictable and like slow shifting metagame, because they really like understanding exactly what range and variance they can account for when the thing is constantly shifting every even few days because of the way information travels by Raynad building decks or Kalento building decks or Dog and Firebat, etc. building decks. Like people just will immediately copy and start chain reacting. Based off that kind of very fast shifting meta, not everyone likes that kind of stuff. They don't play Hearthstone every day. They don't play Hearthstone every week. So they come back completely. Their decks that they spent a month and a half building for dust and collecting everything is just all of a sudden not good anymore. And they can't win a single game and finish a quest, which they can't get more gold and they can't do it. So some people like this kind of stale, we call it stale meta. Some people really like a very understandable, digestible meta that's just very slow shifting. To us, where we get bored if, Raynad doesn't say anything for 30 seconds, that kind of generation, then we really like this kind of fresh meta that always evolves. And that's why people really look forward to it. And so that's why it's really good that Blizzard split it again, just to kind of pat them on the back one more time before we can move on. So.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, the biggest issue is, like, investing into a deck and then having it, like, become bad within a few weeks, and you feel kind of robbed in that regard. That's definitely a drawback of fast-moving metagames. On the bright side, if anybody's ever, like, doesn't play for a week and they come back and they have, like, no idea what's good and they're super confused, I have heard of a few third-party tools that can help them get up to date on maybe, like, a tier list.
Meta Snapshot or something, yeah. Where's that?
Awesome.
I think it's the tempestorm.com, yeah.
Looks like a pretty small website.
Sell out.
Sell out.
Bought this hoodie there too. That's why I'm the best dressed person on this podcast.
By the way, around this time last year was when Magic gave me.
We gonna bring Magic
light
to
a dream. Light a candle.
A moment of silence.
Let it die.
Silence. I will eat a piece of sushi on her behalf.
This is good.
Okay, deck slots. Okay, so I have to bring this up, right? Just deck slots and the way they're doing 18 deck slots. Is that enough? You guys happy with the elite? I'm just happy to get more deck slots.
I'm cool
care,
with that.
So
that's fine.
Yeah.
200, because then you end up never unmaking any. But 9 was too restrictive because you'd never have any room for keeping the ones that you really love and are going to go back to at some point. And sometimes I just want to have like 9 lists of the same deck with different decks. And then that means that the other spots are just taken completely. I mean, I'm exaggerating a bit with the, 9 slots, but maybe one of the things too that might make it irrelevant is the fact that they're improving where you make the deck. So that might also make the extra deck slots less relevant, but it makes the 18 even, seem even bigger in that case.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, since you can access the collection from the play menu, from the screenshots.
Yeah, I'm happy they did a global thing versus, just one or the other.
Yeah.
Ray, what do you think? Just deck slots, just 18?
Yeah, I actually don't think that words exist in the English language to properly express how little I care how many deck slots we have. Like, it's an issue that's so blown out of proportion because Reddit just wants some kind of circle jerky meme to complain about that. It's like, who plays 9 decks at a time, I get that a lot of people build something and they don't like memorize every list, so for a lot of people it's nice to have that. For me personally, it's like all my deck lists are just in my head all the time. I can just build things on the spot, so for me personally it doesn't matter, but I get why a lot of people would care. 18 seems like should be fine, I guess.
Yeah. Frodan? No, but here we go.
Out of context, sound hilarious. The whole 18 should be... I think deck slots in general, I completely agree. I think it's an overblown issue. But it was supposed to be like a representation of a lot of things, like that it's something that people feel like Blizzard moves like a glacier, it's like really slow on stuff. So they're just like, why isn't the idea that we can have more deck slots? Like, one thing that I do agree on is why the hell do we only have 1 brawl deck slot? Like that just two like would be
okay.
But
you need like 3 or 4.
Oh my god, that rustles my jimmies. My god.
Yeah.
That's true. That's definitely true. I
have like a screenshot folder for my brawl decks. It's so annoying. And like the thing is up not even like the entire week. So most of the time I don't get to reuse those, but still it's just sad.
Yeah, there's definitely the tools out there that people do use typically, like like Deck Tracker and things like that. Some of them haven't included brawl yet, so you guys should start including it because those tools are really, really great for keeping track of your old decks. Let's see. What else can we... I'm trying to think if I have any more things to talk about this from a competitive standpoint. Have they said anything yet? I'm not sure if I missed it or not, but have they said anything about, I guess, how they're going to be lining up the release in the spring of this, all of this change with the first season of the Hearthstone World Championship? I mean, is there going to be this moment where there's like, you're playing half of some, this current format and then half of the new format? Is there going to be any of that? Is that going to be an issue this season? Do you guys know, Frodan?
Well, my gut tells me they're not irresponsible enough to do that.
I like the word choice there.
I just wasn't sure if I missed it.
Well done.
That.
Twice in a row, nerfed right before BlizzCon. So
they have done that, indeed. I was going to refer to that to just mention how much they might not care. But I guess this time around they might actually just get it right, because it is a really huge release as opposed to being kind of a small thing. So
I would assume that they probably, like, one thing that Blizzard's doing a lot more now is embracing the idea of like public reveals, whether the TGT announcement or how they did at League of Explorers. I think in moving forward, they're going to try to find good opportunities to do cool announcements as well, because Blackrock Mountain was like a really good learning experience where it wasn't very hyped and it was like, dragons are cool, but it just kind of came out of nowhere and then all of a sudden just released and we had to wait for a long time. It was a mixture of a lot of like experimental stuff that they learned from. Mm-hmm. So I would assume, and again, I don't really know anything, but my assumption and my guess theory is that we'll know something probably around the Winter Championships time. They'll probably, that's a really good platform to announce exactly when. It's like, oh, it's coming out next week, that kind of whole delivery opportunity is there. So
yeah,
the timing feels right. So if I were to be, you know, a gold stock investor in Hearthstone currency, I would probably start saving right around now.
But betting in Hearthstone, Frodo?
Don't sue me.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right about that too. It seems like it's lining up around the same time, so that would be really great if they did ended up doing that. I think overall, I'm really excited about the change. And has there been any players that you guys have known of that just haven't been happy with this change? Like, I mean, extremely upset about the change.
Not that I know of. I know. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I Dart mentioned something like the only way to fix Pilot of Shredder and Dr. Boom was to delete them from the game, apparently. So that was a funny comment. But I mean, it's not as though Wild is not the game anymore. He didn't seem upset about it, though. Like, he didn't really seem to care. So I don't know of anybody who gives a single crap about it on the pro scene. Maybe Frodan does.
I mean, I kind of already said that in like a little bit in the very beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. The players who started 4 months ago to who start in about like anywhere between now and a month mm-hmm. will be unhappy. But in the long term, they'll understand. Now, if you're a player who's been playing since the beginning of beta and you're unhappy, or if you're a player that you know comes from other card games and you're unhappy, you should have your internet privileges taken away. You're probably also a person who types like fam and friends
wow.
all the time. And, like, you know, you're a person that probably types /S after every internet post you ever write.
And go to 4chan on a daily basis.
Delete your Twitter, delete your Facebook, Instagram, etc.
Oh my God.
And I'm
that's mad.
It's just, you know, there's not that many people that actually legitimately have a strong opposition to this in a way that's like, you know, Blizzard is killing the game. Maybe they're unhappy, like, oh, I'm losing part of my collection's impact, or I invested into this much. Mm-hmm. But people who are like, as a 20-year customer of Blizzard Entertainment, I am appalled at your disrespect for customer service. I am an individual who has spent money on your game, and I refuse to pay anything in the future. It's like, why, man? Why would you ever do something like that?
So. Guy was like, the only deck you could actually play was Secret Paladin. And that's going away. So I guess that would explain a lot.
That's definitely going to be a lot of QQs there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some new events that were announced since the last show. And one of them happens to include, you know, Team Tempo Storm here. We'll start off with that one. So Team Brawl, Red Bull Team Brawl. It was a collaboration between, I mean, I think this is Frodan's baby. So let's just have Dan talk about it. I mean, it's a very innovative type of a format that we haven't seen in Hearthstone, but I'll let you take it, right, Frodan?
So for Team Brawl, it's a team sealed event coming this weekend at the Red Bull Studios. It took a really long time to convince Red Bull to do something in Hearthstone because, you know, it's not that Red Bull doesn't like Hearthstone at all. They're actually huge Magic the Gathering fans. The thing about it is that Red Bull is supposed to be like a performance enhancement, you know, that's kind of what they do, right? That's why they have a Red Bull athlete. So when they show Blake Griffin or they show Shaun White, it's like they jump high, they run faster, they measure their heart rate. So in esports, when they go to like StarCraft, when they go to Dota, it's like their APM is this, their eye reflex twitch, you know, all this kind of stuff they can tangibly measure, but there's no like...
Red Bull secret APM techniques.
There's no athletic measurement of what you can do in Hearthstone outside of
you need good eyes, dude. You know, you need good eyes.
Patrons per second that you can create. So
right.
there was this element where like they were like, yeah, that's great, but how do we like really advertise Red Bull outside of grinding ladder like 30 hours in a row to get legend first like 6-0? And I'm like, well, I don't know, man. so you know, in a lot of ways, it took a long process to convince them. But finally I said, you know what, how about if we, instead of doing like a real cool Red Bull event, like just a Hearthstone, why don't we do like something completely unique and, steal something that's not, steal something from Magic together.
Yeah.
And the words are Raynette. Raynette said, Frodan, you're going to eventually run out of the formats for Magic to steal from. And I said, well, until that day, I'm going to keep riding this gravy train. So I invited four teams. We invited like Brian Kibler, Strife Crow, Tides, Raynette, Hyped to test this format. And Raynette was really, really good about building the tool. The tool that you guys are blowing up and causing Raynette's internet build to skyrocket is largely because of him and Rania from Team Crypt. So
you gotta
thank them because they did a really diligent job. Mm-hmm. And they built it in like a month. That's what's insane. Like
did Rania build it or somebody like Y'all have like a developer.
No, it's our web developer.
Okay, I was going to say, that's Ryan is a developer.
She has some pretty good computer stuff, like background, so she would probably be able to at least help with the logistics.
Go ahead, Ray.
I approved the use of our most powerful servers, so it'll be fine.
You signed
the letter. I'm like you're running for office.
Make Temple Storm great again.
All right, Fred, I'm sorry for interrupting. Keep going. Keep going.
So basically, the team sealed is you and two other players. This is, again, from Magic the Gathering. You guys open a pool of cards together, and you build decks that are exclusively used per card. So if you open, say, for example, three Zombie Child, rest in peace, three Azure Drakes, then you only can have three Azure Drakes used across three decks and however you choose. One Drake per deck, two per one, and one another. It doesn't matter. But it's really fun because all of a sudden you have to think about overall lineup synergy. And once you're done building your decks, you line up against another team that does the same exact thing. And it's kind of like this halfway point between Arena and Constructed because you have a pool of cards, but at the same time you have to learn how to like properly build and look at limited formats as a way to constructively look at synergies. So it's a really cool format. From the tests, we've tested so much with numbers. I know a lot of people talk about like, why is it this many packs? Why is it this rich rarity? Why is it, you know, this kind of three decks instead of every player has three decks? Why are you playing best of one? We've tested so many numbers. But again, this is kind of numbers that Raynad helped refine a lot. And I think it's a pretty comfortable number, wouldn't you say, Ray?
Yeah, it's pretty much as good as you're going to get. It's a nice balance to the point where it actually feels super different from Arena. You're not just like playing all the cards at the highest stats or anything. You actually build synergies. And there's like cards that suck in Arena are actually like really good in this format and vice versa.
Yeah.
And you build a lot more towards synergy in this kind of thing. And the whole, like, being forced to build three decks also adds an element of skill where you have to, like, properly identify which two drops go where. Little things like, oh, I should give the River Crocolisk to the Hunter deck that's playing the Devil Sore 8-8 guy. You put the Beasts in the Hunter deck or the Druid deck, and then, like, you know, give Mage the mechs. Things like that, like, come up a lot. So sometimes you get two Power Maces, you want to give Shaman the mace. And I don't know. It's honestly, it's a great format. I'm going to start streaming it a lot. I want to play cash games against other streamers, and I'm really looking forward to doing it more.
Should we bring money matching back into Hearthstone? Like, that's something that I think people need to do. Like, real ones, not just like, hey, I'm logging on to eSports here.
Yeah, Justin Steele is like
that allowed? Is that allowed, dude?
5,000 points.
It was actually... No, it was the first thing I got banned from Twitch.
I know, right? And this is a Twitch guy over here. Is that allowed, Prodan?
If it's illegal within your state. I don't know, like, actual...
Okay. Oh, that's true. That's
in terms of it, but it's like... Maybe you shouldn't call it money matching. Maybe you should.
No. Yeah. What's the Rain Ed Invitational? The $50.
Call it two men fight.
A friendly bout between two gentlemen.
The daily Rain Ed challenge. That'd be pretty good.
I'm not publicly endorsing gambling.
No, you're not.
Because I am not a CSGO caster. So
it's an esport event, man. With an entry fee. It's an eSport event with an entry fee. 100% prize pool. That's all it is.
That is true. Winner takes all 1v1. Right? That's right.
Okay, so one thing to mention is I'm taking a look at these teams, okay? And, I mean, these are, like, a little bit ATL-like teams. They're just kind of, you know, general speaking. And for one, the Cloud9 team. I mean, we've got two... Hafu and Tides are, like, former Cloud9s. Is that why they're... I guess assigned to that team. I mean,
it was part of Cloud9, and just because she's not on the team doesn't mean that she doesn't get along with the players.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that more later. But Hafu specifically agreed to do the event because she really liked playing with Tides and Strife. So it's like that was a big identity of it from former teammates. Plus, it just kind of fit. They all live in Santa Monica. They all hang out together. They have dinner regularly, so it was really good.
Got it.
For Team Liquid, it wasn't originally Team Liquid. I can go ahead and say that we were originally talking to Brian Kibler and building a team around him.
Are you done again?
maybe, you know. Yeah. So the fact that we had Savitz, Dog, and Trump come, it was a last second replacement, but it's actually a really good one too. So I'm really happy about it. And the big thing about all the lineup was that we really wanted to focus on North America talent as well, in the sense that we want to get local guys here to really help. And, you know, that's where Rossma really fits in. That's where we want to get more guys like Dog featured more, because I think Dog's a fantastic player. And
Zalay,
Zalay, et cetera. Because Europe has so many events. Asia has some events, you know, and NA has no events at all. So Vitz is because he just happened to be around for the trip. So a lot of people would be like, why didn't you invite like Colento and Life Coach and other really good players as well? You know, if the series continues to develop, but this is just our first event. So I'm really hyped for it.
No, this is a good lineup. This is definitely a great lineup, especially for the first time here. And then you mentioned, I saw you guys tweeted that Firebat's going to be playing instead of Reynad, right? Who's replacing Firebat on the Team Archon?
So we have Amnesiac.
Oh, okay. So the young Amnesiac. No. Yeah.
I think their first request was maybe Orange, because Orange is, you know, killing it. Really, really criminally underrated player.
Yes, definitely.
But, you know, Orange, again, from Sweden, we couldn't... He, like, had to fly, like, right now in order to get here. So, you know, Amnesiac's from Boston, and he is, like, 15 years old. So just basically a one replacement for Reyna in terms of age and maturity.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Reyna's like, I will not comment on this for then.
I'm good with 18.
I'm good with 18, wow. Okay.
No. All right. Pretty generous.
That had to come out, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's going to be happening this weekend. Definitely check that out. And I guess casting is going to be Dan, Afrodan here, TJ, and Hyped is going to be casting too. Cool.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. TJ. We don't see Hyped's that guy alive, enough. Guys. Where's Hyped been, he's man?
Alive.
Like,
Hyped's alive and very, very satisfied.
Yeah, to put it that way, I guess.
Oh my god. Okay.
You heard that smile on that.
And I was like, yeah.
He knows that feel.
Okay, there's another event too that was announced actually before I think the Team Brawl was announced, and it is a collaboration between Team Archon and Curse called the Curse Trials. $30,000 prize pool. Actually, is there a prize pool for Team Brawl? I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, it's 3K. There's some details that we didn't mention. It's going to be on the Red Bull Twitch channel on February 6th to Saturday. And it's 3K prize pool.
Yeah.
It's a small event, but it's a one-day event. We're not like... And it's going to be a really tight one, too, because there's 12 players, four teams. So it's not going to be like the hour and a half long breaks in between matches, like coming up next. And just like, well, next could mean, you know, tomorrow. So
yeah,
it's going to be a really tight show. One day, like 6-7 hours, awesome. And then we're done. So it's going to be a really awesome quick hit.
Yeah. Actually, one thought I was wanting to mention before we do move forward is the thing I like the most about Team Brawl and what you guys are doing is that tool. Of course, you guys would probably say, yeah, awesome. Of course he likes that tool, right? Because it's a technical person. But I think a lot of people, you know, whine and complain about Blizzard not having, like, formats and tournament formats and things like that built into the client. But whenever you see, you know, folks that are being more proactive about, you know, trying to create these these innovative type of formats and things like that external to the game, but, you know, making workarounds in the form of these tools and developing tools, but that's where we need to go. You know, that's why I really am, you know, am very pleased to see events like this, and I hope that more event organizers will do the same thing. Go in and find a developer, an engineer, or a programmer that you know, maybe a buddy of yours, and try to brainstorm about like what kind of things can you do, you know, by just creating a tool, and then, you know, using just whatever you can do in the game to try to facilitate that. Right? We saw that a little bit with Lord of Arena. That was like the first one, and then, you know, this is like another one like that. So I really, really like seeing that in the community, and hope more people do that. So kudos to you guys, man.
If it goes well, we're definitely not going to do like this. Well, what's the next one team we're going to get? Like, should we get Na'Vi and play with the three same teams? Like, yeah. I mean, that might happen a little bit, but cool. Reynad's periscoping.
I'm looking for an outlet that works. My bad.
That's no worries.
That's just chilling
out. Where I tap the screen for like 500 hearts.
God.
So it's what was I saying? Oh yeah. So if this goes well, you know, I'm talking to Reynad all the time. Like, how can we do this locally to have like an event in Los Angeles? And you know, if it goes well, then I'd go straight. This is my job. I go straight to Twitch. I'm like, can we bring this to Crip and Noxious in Toronto and have them do like a team sealed open event? Give them some prizes, give some money, sponsors, etc. Have them do in the community.
Yeah.
This is kind of what my job is and what I'm really interested in, because I think that kind of really builds more of what people love about Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of what Blizzard's done with the game, but whenever they ask me how to improve the game, it's not about you know, nerfing Dr. Boom, Shredder, or Druid Combo, or Mysterious Challenger. For me, like, I tell them, like, where's our social options? Where's our opportunities to just click something in the button to show where to find fireside gatherings?
Where's the opportunity
to connect with clans and guilds? Like, I mean, I can understand that maybe they want to limit the UI design, but there's no way they should be stopped promoting the social aspect of stuff. The biggest reason why Magic and everything else has gotten so big is because of evangelists, right? The people who share the game with other people. And a lot happens at Friday Night Magic, other things.
Yeah.
So to end the rant, this part of what makes the Tavern, not the Tavern Brawl, the Team Brawl so exciting to me is how there's going to be a lot of socializing within the game. The teams are going to be communicating in the middle of them. They can help each other, you know, Fireback can reach over to Rosmo or Eloise and talk to them through their play. Same with Strifeco, Hafu, etc.
Try to get some of that footage too, because I that's one thing I miss a little bit about. Remember old school ESGN when you guys used to have everybody together? And you know, like they were all playing together, right? Just back in Fight Night, those little team battles. I kind of miss some of that talk. That'd be great if you guys could get a little of that footage too, like when they're building the decks and, you know, trying to figure out how to distribute the cards between the three decks. Yep. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Okay, well, I was mentioning the second event, which was a Team Archon and a Curse collaboration, which is a $30,000 Hearthstone Invitational. And this one's another one that's, you know, basically trying to try out a different format. This one's not quite as crazy with a different tool, but it is going to be building decks that have no classic cards in it. So kind of like the new format's basically the theme of, you know, early 2016 so far. And that's like, you know, that's definitely awesome. So they're going to be doing this. It's going to be February 17th through 19th. They've only announced four players so far, but there's 16 players that are going to be announced, I think, maybe in the next couple weeks or so. But RDU, Firebat, Shrifu, and Oskaka so far. So definitely check that out. I'm sure that's going to be probably on Team Archon or Amaz or, you know, one of those channels, I'm sure. So be sure to keep an eye out for that.
It's a pretty restricted format, though. Like, I looked at that format a lot in the past, and it's basically mech decks. Everybody plays Fellreaver. I don't know. Paladin is dominating. Like, it's a very narrow thing because BGH is out, right? So you just play BGH. You can play Fellreaver, Dr. Boom, all the BH targets you want. You play Belchers. You can play KT because there's like hardly any silences and like hard removal left. So there's like a ton of really high power cards that just don't get answered. And it's looking to me like Paladin, Warrior can do a pretty good job. Mage, Shaman, everything mech, basically. Like Mage, Shaman, even Druid can pull off mech. It's like, it's pretty nuts. I don't know. Very narrow.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that Archon is still trying to innovate some formats as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that they also met with Blizzard like last year on a private meeting to just talk about stuff. I think it was primarily about ATLC. But they also, like, Backspace was telling me he dropped in some knowledge like about how he's pushing for Classic to get rotated out. So this, when Amaz says like, oh, this was like a 6-month process of like getting the event to happen, it's actually pretty true. They're definitely been working on this for a while to get this event off the ground, because they've been wanting to rotate Classic out for a long time from their camp. Whether or not that's the right design decision is completely up for debate, but I think it's pretty sweet. It's been a while since we had a meaningful online tournament that people truly cared about. Ironically enough, it's the last time that happened was Archon's tournament.
Our ATLC, I feel like that's the one I remember.
Yeah, and it's a lot of money for an online tournament, too. Definitely. It's very classic Archon in a sense, where it's like it's a different format. It's a lot of money, so people care about it. And it's also laced in irony that Firebat was one of the first invites. So
we're getting to that, man. But yeah, definitely. And it looks like it's 3 days, too. So this is more of probably a full double elimination bracket, I'm imagining. If it's 3 days, it seems like it would be something like that with 16 players. So yeah, definitely keep an eye on that. That's going to be in 2 weeks. So it looks like we're going to be having an event at least this weekend and then 2 weeks later. So hopefully there's something in between so they keep us busy in the meantime. Okay, let's talk about Firebat and a lot of the drama that's been happening lately with him leaving Team Archon. He tweeted, it's funny because we were trying to get Firebat on here and I knew nothing about this whole leaving Team Archon thing. And it just happened that, you know, he was too busy to come on. And then literally 2 minutes later, he announced he was leaving Archon. So I was just like, wow, I didn't know any of the, you know, this was going on. So he came out with that. There was a, I believe, a Gosu Gamers article that came out that kind of revealed at least Firebat's side of the story, where he wasn't very happy there, felt disrespected. There was some issues with even paying his salary or just timing of paying his salary, and stirred up a lot of things, right, you know, in terms of drama. There was a video released today with Backspace and Amaz kind of telling their side of the story. Man. So there's definitely – I didn't actually get a chance to catch the video yet because I was just been planning this show the whole day. So Frodan was trying to catch me up on it. Reyna, do you get a chance to watch, I guess, all the stories behind both sides of it?
I can't really have Backspace on my monitor for more than 3 seconds at a time without punching a hole in it. So, no, I didn't really watch it. I read the Reddit post. That's about it.
Oh, man. Okay.
Noxious. Man, the classic, skip straight to comments, then watch and start talking about it.
Yeah. Noxious, how about you?
I didn't even see it. I was actually streaming all day, so I didn't catch it. But I read a bit of the comments just to see what it would be about. But, I mean, the only thing I got is that air dirty laundry in public, so just you don't have to. That's all. Right. That's the gist of what I got. That's about it.
Right.
Whatever was going to be in it was just going to be upsetting. Like, it's... Any player you sign to your org should not have to worry about, after the contract ends, getting a 10-minute video being shit-talked about your character by a streamer that's bigger than you. Because that's, how it always works.
Well, okay. Hold on. Frodan's seen the video. Frodan's actually seen the video. So,
oh, my God. This is awesome.
Hold on. We're going to hear both sides of this. No.
So sick.
I'm going to get to it. But Frodan, you saw the video.
He knows. Because this sounds so familiar to me with Reynad when he had a former employee of his, as he would call it, called Tides of Time. Where him and Tides had, and it's not the same situation where, you know, they disagree on the same concepts, but it's kind of like the same idea, right? Where they parted ways, and in the end, it doesn't seem like it was very happy split, and now all of a sudden they find themselves on opposing sides very quickly, right? Reynad had to play Tides and DreamHack, and then that was a very interesting time for a rivalry. That was actually the last time where I remember drama this good happened.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, the whole thing about, so first of all, sorry, to your point, Reynad, you are correct in your statement. You're absolutely right. That shouldn't happen. But I'm glad you learned your lesson if that's what's happening from this point forward.
Well, I never made a YouTube video because Tides never shit-talked Tempo. I never really... shit talk Tides. I just said the reason was videos and stuff.
Yeah, and you didn't really call him a liar or anything like that. You just said
it wasn't personal. It's just it was business stuff, right?
The point is going out of your way to make a public piece of content where with just disparaging comments towards somebody. That's unacceptable from either side. Had Firebat done that, that would have been equally terrible because then why would any org want to sponsor him in the future? And then since Archon did that, it's why would any player want to sign to them in the future? It's just lose-lose. Nobody wins when that shit happens, you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
So fucking proud right now, man.
Well, that's about the practice of joy and pride.
Every mean thing I said today so far. I think Reynad hit the nail on the head here. The thing about Amaz and Backspace is that they're not unjustified for making that. In fact, they even prefaced it a lot of the reason why we made this video is because, you know, he said some stuff about our organization and we want to just clear things up. And you know, that's perfectly reasonable in a very normal state where it's I want to have another side of the story, because if you just let one person say stuff, especially someone as honest as Firebat, which they did bring up, you know, Firebat did, he's kind of a loose cannon sometimes. He talks a little bit too much on the stream. Everyone knows that. It's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple things definitely made me uncomfortable. The first is that they did it together. So when you kind of have two versus one in terms of a discussion of why you hurt me and I hurt you, it kind of leads to this snowbally thing where, one guy talks, and then he wasn't even thinking about why he doesn't like him that way, and then that reminds him of another thing, so then you start talking more, and it just continues to compound to each other. So it felt like they were ganging up, and it just didn't come off as a good tone. And then finally, Amaz ended the video with his own personal appeal, which he said he wished Firebat would, you know, mature a little bit. It's like that's perfectly fine for him to express that emotion, because it's a very natural reaction. But again, you know, he's a team owner. So before, like, you go everything else, you have to understand. It's something that I pound on Rand all the time. It's like, you represent so much more than yourself. If you say something, you're not only putting yourself out there as Reynad, but it's also Templestorm, and also your employees that you represent, and also your sponsors you represent, and also anything you ever touch, like Lord of the Arena, Challenge Stone, everything's associated with it. He understands that completely now. And so, you know, it's one of the things that is so dangerous. Like, and if I were to go back in time, I would go to Amaz and I would say, like, if you're going to do this video, make sure you say 500 good things about Firebat before you say one bad thing. Right. Like, you have to.
Right.
In the sense that, like, you have to express that, you know, you guys were friends. Like, he was a founding member of Archon. Yeah. This is the way.
It wasn't spite or any kind of, like, just pure, I guess, meanness as a result of you splitting and disagreeing on the fact that, I guess, you wanted to take a different direction than he did. So, I don't know. I just feel it's weird that they didn't simply, like, they didn't have to ignore it. But they could have, if they wanted, make a short, sweet statement, which they did when he was released. But then they made an entire video on top of it, which I thought was kind of the unusual part of it.
They also did an AMA on Reddit to explain it as well. So I was also using...
An AMA? What the hell? I didn't catch that.
One of the owners of the team...
The third owner?
Oh, that's Atomaz, did an AMA explaining a little bit of the Firebat situation and...
Okay,
I can understand. You know, it's a lot of to come in. It's Firebat's a star player on Archon. Outside of Amaz, it really is Firebat that gets most of the attention pull.
He's just one of the world champions, man. We only have two of them,
and he's not only that, but he's been doing sick. I mean, last year
he's one of the best players. Like, period.
So, I say the top.
It's a huge loss. I can understand why, but you know, obviously, I'm really saddened by it. Like, that's the way it is, and I know Firebat is too, because he defended Amaz a lot. Despite Amaz, you know, not everyone kind of throws around the Skamaz meme nowadays, but, you know, once upon a time, people really actually use it as a malicious way to attack his character all the time. And Firebat was one of the people defending Amaz. You remember after the Pinnacle debate, who's the one who went on Reddit to fend off the hordes?
That was
who was it?
Hero Firebat.
Who
was the hero?
He messed up so bad. Like, and it's I'm not trying to laugh at him, but it's like, it's really hard to try to defend yourself without getting taken out of context, which is what happened. Mm-hmm. But Firebat sent himself out there, and it was like, no, guys, like, Fire, like, Amaz is really good. He always tries to help his friends. He's a good owner. Like, Archon's really trying our best. We're really sorry this happened. The Pinnacle was just like this, you know, this stupid mistake. We're not going to do it again. We're really sorry. And he did it on his own account. He wrote it in his own words. He replied to every comment, and he did it. He's like, this is not the way. This is not the way you part ways with him, in my opinion. Just like, but I don't know. Like, that's a year ago, so maybe things have completely deteriorated to that point. And I can tell whenever I talk to Firebat. You know, I was talking to him about the event this weekend, so I got the chance to chat with him. He was just sad, man. It's just like, these were my friends. You know, these were people that I really wanted to work with, and it's not about who's right or wrong. It's just sad that two friends or two groups of friends just like split like this. You know, whenever people break up like that, it hurts. So it's not about who's right or who's wrong. Who should be the one who has the final say.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about it.
Definitely.
Which is 5 minutes.
Which is actually quite a bit. Yeah. Well, a pretty good monologue though. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Definitely. Oh, okay. Let's talk about the aftermath of it, which is Firebat's a free agent now, right? And so let's talk about, I guess, the value of Firebat. I know Noxious, you think he's the best player right now, just from the standpoint of...
Well, I don't know about, like, the best player, because I think that's really hard to evaluate in the context of the metrics that we don't have. But overall, like, if we just look at the results that he's had, like, I remember earlier in the year, I think I casted the kickoff season against, you know, a Star Ladder, and then he got... CN versus NA, he ended up playing with a bunch of the NA players as well, and then he got WCA nearly first place, not quite there. Like, a bunch of the tournaments that he did, he got, like, sick results in, and for some reason, it's like, business as usual. I don't think anybody kind of batted an eye. I was always like, oh yeah, Firebat wins. It's like nothing crazy out of the ordinary, which just goes to show that the consistency's been there since the very beginning. And for a game that's claimed to be not an esport with all the variants and whatnot, I think he's doing a pretty damn good job of showing that there's a little bit more to it than just flipping coins, even though, you know, sometimes it comes down to that. I don't know.
Reynad, you're the team owner here, so like free agency, like what do you see value, like what's the value here with Firebat?
As far as what?
Just evaluating just whether, you know, he's a good pickup or not. Just like, what do you think?
Yeah, of course he's a good pickup. I mean, it's the best free agent that's been available for a long time.
Yeah.
He's proved that he's not a fluke. Like, he didn't just win BlizzCon. He's done consistently very well. It's a good way of thinking about the game. He's marketable, has decent stream numbers. Yeah, it's a great pickup for anyone.
Oh, so Tempo Fire Bat confirmed Raynette, right? Is that what you're saying?
Tempo Bat, I guess.
Yeah, I already wrote this in my blog. I think Firebat was my personal player of the year in 2015 for many reasons. Not because he's performed the best, but in a lot of categories in terms of impact on the metagame.
Community as well, man.
His consistencies. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a metric of prize money that he's won, which he outperformed everyone last year. You can put him in the top categories of Tice, Kalento, and even to a certain degree, like Purple. Mm-hmm. Those guys all perform better. But personally, I pick Firebat as the number one. And it's kind of a shame that some people still think that he legitimately is a fluke, which, you know, and then they're looking at like Tice, for example, who didn't actually have a really good result until like he won DreamHack last year, and people still doubted him for a while. But that's kind of what Hearthstone is, you know, it's just like this always, it's a state of like always being an underdog, whether about the game itself or, you know, the fact that it's a card game, people always underestimate and kind of,
well, let's be.
Give it this like.
This is like a whole other show itself, but I just think the way we have things structured in the community, not necessarily the Hearthstone World Championship, but just generally, like, we don't really celebrate our champions. Like, there's no title holder. There's nothing to like even represent how these players are good over time. You know, like Firebat, like everybody's probably forgotten he won the championship like in 2014. People have probably forgotten he's already won 3 months later. You know what I mean? And I feel like we don't really represent that, market that, you know, just really have anything like bracelets and poker, anything like that, that I feel we should have.
That's a great point. Yeah, like, I think just to kind of derail the topic a little bit before we wrap up the Q&A is that I really think we should emphasize more about overall placings. Like, you know, we don't really remember who this, like, can you tell me the semifinalists from ranking 2014 BlizzCon? A lot of people can't. Mm-hmm. Noxious, can you, I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but do you know the semifinalists of BlizzCon 2014? They won $25,000. And top four in the
Green
world.
Green Sheep, Tiddler, Firebat, and I'm missing some. Am I even right about these
Green
three?
Green Sheep was around eliminating the round of 16.
Around 16,
it was
okay.
Kranich.
Kranich and D2.
That's the one. I don't know why I keep confusing Green Sheep and D2.
I totally forgot D2.
Like, name-wise, I don't know why.
So people don't remember that, but they should, you know, in the sense that it's great. People are like, what kind of results does even Raynad have? And Raynad's actually placed top eight in a lot of events, or top four, you know? So it's like, this kind of stuff, people remember the winners, and winning a Hearthstone event is super hard because it's unlikely. But placing top eight consistently is great. Eloise tells me about the best player in China, in her opinion, is one of her teammates when she was on Douyu, and it was this guy named Xiao Ran. He actually played in DreamHack this past winter. Mm-hmm. He got really far. He went like 6-3 or something like that, but he just missed the cutoff by one loss. And he's gotten top eight in Gold League like four times or something like that. And that's a 500-man open tournament where you play best of three. Like, that's so hard to do four times with like top eight. And it's like the hardest tournament. And that's the only tournament you can play in China. So thousands sign up. But like, people don't talk about that. They talk about like this guy who had an insane run. And that's part of the buzz of it. That's a Chris Moneymaker effect. But
yeah.
I think we also need to continue to like change a little bit of the community identity to celebrate these people who get top eight or top four. Because that's also a great accomplishment as well.
Yeah, or we come up with a more solid ranking system, you know, a ranking system that actually is accepted by the entire community. There is one that's, you know, I guess Ghost Who Gamer kind of has there, and it comes up every so often, but it's not the accepted one. I don't think it's, like, globally accepted. So, hopefully
maybe it's time to make a meta snapshot of players right now. What do you think?
I was actually thinking about that.
Not bad.
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
That's not bad.
We got one on the way for, like, Heroes of Storm and Overwatch, and then, I should probably do
for
a
Overwatch?
Player one.
God.
All right.
What's wrong with that, bro? That's nothing. I mean,
this game's not even out yet.
So what? He's getting ready. He's getting ready, man. That's cool. Okay, well, why don't we do some Q&A here? Let's take a really quick break so I can kind of go through and just look at some of the tweets here, and then we'll be right back. Quick word from, I guess, our innkeeper for the Patreon too, but sit tight, and we'll be back in about a few minutes. All right.
Want to support Value Town? Go to patreon.com/valuetown. Come and join us by the hour.
All right, guys, we're back, and I'm going to do some Q&A now. Thanks for the folks that have been writing in. If you want to try to get your questions in last minute, tweet at ValueTownGG, and we'll try to get them as soon as we can. Okay, Skylar Langford asks, do you believe Duelist will be comparable? Will be a comparable rival to Hearthstone, since top streamers like Fireback gravitate towards it now? What do you guys think about Duelist?
Fucking insane. It's great. I don't know. I can't stop playing it. That thing is crack. Like, it's just bad. It's just bad. I can't stop.
It's just bad, meaning
class
good.
Do you play now? Just, Songhai, I'm hanging out.
No, I play Vitruvian, like Weenie White with Time Maelstroms. It's so ridiculous, man. Like, you can't lose. It's, well, you can, but I don't know what it takes. I don't know. It's just cool. I just love that game so much.
Okay. Ray, I know you played some too.
Yeah, I played a decent amount of it. Mm-hmm. Pretty good game. I think there's more and more coming out like that. There's one like Cards and Castles, which is kind of similar to like tile-based movement. I actually like the mechanics in that game more. But yeah, Duelist is a good game. I think it's too impossible to compete with Hearthstone's just like user interface. And like no game will ever, in the strategy category or whatever, will ever be as big as Hearthstone. Or as far as like the card game.
Yeah, category. I don't think so.
Because it's the perfect mix of just everything from like the size of World of Warcraft to just the user interface, the game mechanics, the simplicity to learn. Mm-hmm. But for like the try hard card game players, it's very fun to play those other card games that are a little bit more like strategically challenging, like mm-hmm. higher skill cap, where like if you make a mistake, you get punished harder. So yeah, you know, a lot of pros play that kind of stuff for fun. Just saying, Ratsma play it too.
Yeah, Frodan, what about you?
Yeah, I played a lot of Duelist. I haven't actually played it in about a week, but about two, three, four weeks ago, I was playing a lot of Duelist just because I wanted to learn it. It was very fun. It's kind of like rediscovering Hearthstone. So a lot of people are wondering, like,
right.
Is like Fireback leaving Archon and quitting Hearthstone to focus on Duelist? Or they look at other people and like, what about Duelist teams? And you know, Duelist is just like a fun side hobby, no different than... You know, picking up soccer,
some other games
or Puzzles and Dragons. Right. It's kind of another like recreational thing. So,
cookie clicker.
But it's very fun and it's really good perspective because at the highest level, I read and hear a lot about complaints with the meta being too fast, that there's not enough parity between classes, and it's just like the same things that you see all the time. It turns out it's just like a lot of other card games, even though some mechanics are great. Like I love the replace mechanic; that's pretty awesome. I love the ability to flip a card out.
Yep.
But also, it's just as frustrating when you're like, I drew like three cards this turn and nothing
happened. I replaced 75 times, dude. What the hell is, and yeah, I even put the guy who in my deck lets me replace three times. Like, what the hell? Yeah. It happens.
I've watched this. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet. So, like, what would you recommend doing for a complete noob?
Leonar's
pretty good, just for like straight up value on a lot of the stuff. Yeah. If you want to play like a really powerful deck. Actually, Songhai just got nerfed, apparently, right? So maybe not.
What did they change?
I don't know, but I just heard that they got nerfed. So it's not as strong. But Songhai was just, like, ridiculous. It got it got like so many ways to just do innervate stuff, which is dumb.
Oh yeah, and then it just charge you. Wow, like the teleports were the most offensive part of it, I think. Yeah. It's like no way to get away from it.
Anyways, so, there's not a duelist show, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you guys should check that.
Morse yeah. M asks, "How likely is the future set? How likely is it that future sets will introduce functional reprints of wild cards? Or, I guess, would you like to see there be reprints eventually? Just to kind of word it differently. Obviously, we don't know. So, would you like to see that as being a potential?" Thing?
That's a really good question, to be honest. I think that any card worth reprinting, they would just like to kind of have in the classic set. Mm-hmm. Ideally, personally, I would rather not see reprints, because then it's like it would be one less new card per expansion. Yeah. Sometimes it might be really good for set balance.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I would like them to instead pull them to the classic set. And this is where I really love Kibler's idea of having a core set of cards that you can just say is the core set. I mean, you know, Blizzard really likes the identity of the classic set to a certain degree. But, you know, for example, it's when you release really powerful demons, one of the first criticisms is going to be this is too slow. But then when you have Voidcaller, that kind of makes it really interesting kind of stuff. So if they want to pull Voidcaller back, which is one of my favorite cards in Hearthstone, I wouldn't mind. I don't think people would be upset either, so... It depends on what they really want to do. But the whole point is, like, Blizzard can always just change things, right? People are always like...
That's true.
If they put GVG away, GVG will never come back. And it's like, no, they can just say, we'll take, like, Mech Warper or something and bring it right back. You know, it's into the core set or classic. They can always do that. Mm-hmm. So
true.
It's not impossible. And who knows what happens in the future.
Do you see them being more open to just changing single cards now? Like, now that they've introduced, you know, removing cards, just period, right? Will they be open to it, in your opinion? Noxious, what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like that may just be... Because the thing is, I've been a big vocal... asshole about changing old cards, because I can't believe that it took so long for them to add format rotations in. Like, I was so frustrated for so long.
Yeah.
And I feel like what they did is they just decided to make a change to their philosophy design wise, in one, you know, fell swoop, instead of changing a little bit here, changing a little bit there, which, like, yeah, I can understand now, which is cool. And I hope that they're not going to start getting shy about modifying old stuff. And I hope they don't try to balance too much around wild, because then, I mean, I just hope they don't, because then that's going to be a nightmare. Like, fall in the same trap of, well, in this format, it's fine, but
that would be
here
really
it's
hard.
Not.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, if they're cutting two off, then I want them to just separate both. And if a problem card exists in one format, then you just change it if necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Balancing for both? Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's why they cut it off. Right?
So, yeah,
that's why they
that
cut it off.
Impossible.
In Magic, they don't balance around old sets at all.
Yeah.
Like, they intentionally don't, and the old sets have the most variety. Like, it's just, like, naturally, when you increase the pool of cards, like, there become, like, a good range of broken cards you can play, but there's also a bigger range of answers to those. Mm-hmm. So, even if they make something broken, like, the metagame will self-correct, because there will be some deck that does well against it.
Yeah.
I personally prefer they just kind of, like, ignore wild balancing and just let it kind of develop into its own thing.
Me too. Sean Bernhoft asks, how do you feel about increasing the amount of dust received from discontinued cards?
How do I feel about giving more money to everybody in the world?
It's got to feel good.
It's great if it could work. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, straw-manning his argument.
Sure.
It's much more feasible to do something like that. But, I don't mean to make fun of him too much. But it is kind of like that. It's like, ideally, yes. No one would be against that. It's like a really good platform to run for if you're going for Hearthstone Mayor. So
true.
I'm all for it. But is it practical? Will Blizzard want to do that?
Marcel asks, are there internships for Tempo Storm?
Towards the end of this year, I want to get, like, an office and make a job listing page where...
Really?
That's when we'll list, like, internships and stuff. Right now, nothing right now, but if you just follow our social media, like, yeah, basically, eventually we'll make that page and then you can apply there.
Okay, awesome. Most of these other questions we've covered, guys, with just what we talked about today. So why don't we call it a day? Great episode. Great having you guys on. We seem to always have good ones, Dan, whenever you're on with a three or with at least the
three. It's because I talk entirely way too much. Yeah. I apologize.
But any shout-outs you want to do before you take off?
For me?
Yeah.
You know, I really want to thank Twitch for always just being very supportive of what I do. Like, people might credit me or Raynad or, like, a bunch of other stuff, you know, for doing things, but in the end, they really helped me do a lot of they enable me to do things I love. Shout out to you, Chan Man, for putting out community content. We don't really have great, reliable talk shows in Hearthstone, so hopefully this continues to go strong.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few, the Angry Chicken, etc. But I'm just saying, we don't have many. And then, I guess, final shout out to the Red Bull event. Once again, go watch this weekend. It's going to be sick. It couldn't be any better for storyline.
That's true.
We'll miss Raynad, but this is gonna be sick. You guys are gonna want to watch it.
Noxious, shout outs.
Yeah, shout out to Complexity as usual. You know, the team has been supporting me for a while, and Soylent and Amino, which sponsor my stream at the moment.
Right,
that's about it. Maybe Blizzard team as well for doing.
Something. Maybe Blizzard team. Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Blizzard team.
Half-hearted. Yeah. Shout out. Ray.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the Blizzard team for sure for doing it right. Shout out to this Red Bull thing again. It actually will be a really cool event, and it's not just like this one like tournament I want people to watch. Like, the thing I want to have happen is for this format to catch on, because the tool is just there. It's completely free. You can just go in and use it and like play with your friends. Mm-hmm. I plan on streaming it. Like, I think it'll be fun. So yeah, TomStrom.com, click little packs, and you can open your own sealed deck and build decks out of it. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna try it out right now.
It actually is fun.
Yeah, I was talking to the web dev about like getting my hands on it because I was trying to get it the other day, but I'm excited to see it. I just want to thank you guys. Just my shout out. Just thank you guys for doing the show with me. This is great. You know, just changing the format of Value Town and having it be more like this, I think is really fun, and just talking about the community and stuff like that. And we'll continue to do that just moving forward. You can catch the VODs if you missed any of the show on youtube.com/ChanManV. I'll be posting it right after this. Follow the Value Town Twitter account too. I'm going to start posting it more there than from my personal account. I'll retweet it from my personal account, but for, you know, mainly I'll be using that more often. So be sure to follow there, and that's where we'll be doing Q&A from here on out. Follow all these guys on Twitter. The Twitter you can actually see on the overlay here. And that's going to be it, guys. Next episode, I want to do something that's actually more content making oriented. So we'll have some more guests. I'll have some more details soon. But that's going to be it for Value Town this week. So for Frodan, Noxious, Raynad, and myself, ChanManV, we'll see you next week. Later.
See ya.